Hello and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 22, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. As we enter the year 2022, we must remind ourselves of a spot of bother we were in exactly 2 years ago, a problem called COVID-19. Since then, there have been many variants, crores of infections across the world, tens and thousands and lakhs of deaths across the world. The virus, in some cases, has made us wiser. There's a lot of science to back our decision making. But even after 2 years, we do see ourselves stepping in with some knee-jerk reactions, whether we should go for lockdowns or not, whether boosters should be released earlier or not, how much boosters must be delayed, as was the case with India. Lots of unanswered questions as we enter the new year. Will the virus end post-Omicron? Will vaccines be an annual affair? Do lockdowns work, as we just said? Did the rich countries make the biggest mistake by openly spreading vaccine inequity? This New Year's, the big fight is actually against Omicron. And in 2 years, let us not forget that the world over, the simplest and the best way, even now, to protect yourself, is that mask. Mask up, ladies and gentlemen, as we look for solutions ahead, a third wave. Let me first introduce our first guests this evening, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, Chief Scientist of the WHO. Thank you very much, Ms. Swaminathan, for joining us. My first question, given the fact that the world over, the symptoms, and this is a very important question based on what a lot of people have been saying, the world over, the symptoms of this Omicron variant are said to be mild, and patients are largely asymptomatic. Isn't then the biggest challenge now in identifying whether a person is suffering from common cold, the flu, or the Omicron?
Thank you very much for inviting me onto your show. And I'd like to wish you and as well as all the viewers a very happy new year.
Happy new year.
Let's hope 2022 sees the end of the pandemic. I'm sure that's what everybody would like. Coming to your question of being able to differentiate between these different viruses, it is a challenge because the symptoms are pretty similar. They're overlapping. And so I think short of testing, there really isn't any other way to tell whether you have a flu or whether you have a common cold or whether you have COVID, you know, one of the variants, Omicron. So I think it one has to go by, well, the most accurate is testing. But secondly, you could also go by epidemiology. So if you're in the middle of a big surge of Omicron in your neighborhood, in your city, and you have symptoms, I think you should presume that you may have that infection and act as if you have it, because that's the safest way to prevent others from getting it. Because if the, you know, what's our goal really of testing? Our goal is to prevent further transmission from an infected person. So one may have to take that approach. We're seeing rises now in several Indian cities. We expect that there may be a surge, there will be a surge. And so one has to behave as if one might have the infection. Of course, test, you know, if possible, we must test. And this is where both PCR and rapid antigen tests may be useful.
Dr. Swaminathan, the general belief is that Omicron infections are mild. Now, is this a very dangerous situation? Because it may push us into a dangerous sense of complacency, this mild symptoms theory.
There is a real fear that we become complacent and we think this is just the common cold and there's nothing to worry about. I don't think we can conclude that at this stage. You know, we've seen a lot of data coming in, mainly from South Africa and the UK. And what the South Africans have shown is that the surge, the number of cases that they experienced with Omicron in the same days compared to the previous surges with Beta or Delta was 4 times more. So it's that much more transmissible. So the actual number was 40,000 in previous, 30 to 40,000 in previous outbreaks during the peak. It was 1,40,000 during Omicron. But at the same time, the risk of hospitalization was 1/4. So it actually evens out, 4 times more transmissible, 1/4 the risk of hospitalization. So you end up with the same number of people in the hospital. Now, having said that, once somebody is in the hospital, for whatever reason, because of comorbidity, because they have to be observed, they've then found that the risk of becoming very severely ill, needing critical care, needing ventilation, or in fact dying, was all much less with Omicron than with the Delta or Beta. So that's good news. But this is not to say that hospitals, doctors, healthcare workers, outpatient clinics will not be overwhelmed. They will be. And so that's what we need to prepare for, even though the ultimate outcomes hopefully are going to be much better with Omicron.
Now, Dr. Swaminathan, as cases explode in India, as they are happening in the United States also, what is the biggest challenge you foresee for the healthcare system in this country?
Yes. So as I was just saying, I think the biggest challenge for us is going to be the sudden need for medical care that's going to take place, because the surge is going to be so fast. So many people are going to be sick. And as you know, people are worried. You know, when you have symptoms, you want to talk to a doctor, you want to see a healthcare worker, you want advice. And so that's what we have to prepare for. Maybe this is the time to really scale up the telehealth and telemedicine services to make sure that we have enough doctors and nurses in outpatient clinics, make sure that we can treat people at home as much as possible, or in sort of primary care isolation centers where they get basic care, but they don't need very advanced cares. I think the whole burden of this outbreak is going to be more on outpatient and home-based services rather than in ICUs and in hospital beds which are for the severely ill.
Dr. Swaminathan, now the big question, do vaccines still work, and can we boost our way out of this new variant and also the pandemic? Because, you know, the WHO and its messaging has been called confused. On one hand, you say that if boosters are only going to prolong the pandemic, and on the other hand, the WHO says that booster is actually the best bet. Which is correct?
So both statements have a logic behind it. The reason why WHO said boosters may prolong the pandemic is because a few countries were going in for boosters sort of across the board for all age groups, for the entire population, while many countries still waiting for their first course of vaccine, for their high-risk groups, for their frontline health workers, and so on. And so that inequity will prolong the pandemic, will give the opportunity for the virus to create more variants, and the next one could be worse. We can't be sure. On the other hand, we know that there is some waning of immunity. And what we're learning now is that the waning seems to occur more in terms of the neutralizing antibodies, which is what most people are measuring in the blood, rather than in T-cell responses. Now, the T-cell or the cell-mediated immune response, immune system, is the one that protects you from getting severely ill. Doesn't necessarily stop you from getting infected. But once you have the infection, the virus is in your body. The T cells actually help in killing those virus-infected cells and therefore don't allow it to progress to pneumonia and things like that. So a couple of recent studies that have just come out have shown that Omicron, even though it has so many mutations, it does not affect the T cell responses. And so we believe that all the existing vaccines will continue to protect against severe disease. And while some people might need boosters, like older people whose immune responses tend to wane, immunocompromised people, people who are also at very high risk of getting infected, like healthcare workers, because they're exposed so much, in those people, it makes sense to boost their immunity with a third dose, a booster dose. But this may not be needed for everybody, for young adults, for example. We don't have the data to show that it's needed for the entire population. So we can do both. We can provide boosters for those who need them, and we can continue to vaccinate people, mainly in Africa, but also in a few other countries that have not yet vaccinated even 10% of their population. We use the doses that we have wisely and equitably.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Dr. Swaminathan, because my next question is related to that only. Is this wave actually a result of vaccine inequity the fact that African countries where Omicron was first detected had a very low rate of vaccination. Who do you hold responsible for this?
Indeed, and that's what we have been warning, Sanket. WHO had been saying that this type of inequitable distribution of vaccines will lead to more variants and will prolong the pandemic. And that's exactly what's happened now. So this is why, at least now, we need to learn this lesson if we hadn't learned it in the past. And political leaders of all countries must come together and find a way forward where they are protecting their own high-risk citizens and their own high-risk groups within their countries, national borders, but at the same time ensuring enough vaccine supplies go through COVAX, through the African Vaccine Acquisition Task Force, to those countries where there's been a shortage of supplies. And if we don't do that now, then we're probably going to be looking at more variants coming through in the future. And I know we must do our best to try to minimize that from happening.
Dr. Swaminathan, is Omicron affecting children more? There are some reports that have come from the United States which say that pediatric hospitalization has shot up.
When there's a surge in the community, then everyone gets affected. Older adults, younger adults, children. Actually, with Omicron, what has been observed in many countries is that the age group that's been impacted is a younger age group. And this could be for a number of reasons. Maybe because schools and colleges are open, young people are up and about. It's also the holiday season in many countries. There's a lot of mixing, a lot of partying going on. So the average age of the Omicron infected has been lower, which could be also another reason why we're not seeing that many severely ill people. So it's to be expected that children will also get the infection if the infection goes up in the community. But as of now, I haven't seen any data to show that it's affecting children disproportionately or that children are becoming more ill with Omicron than they did with any of the previous variants. So I think we're still good there as far as children are concerned. There doesn't seem to be a heightened risk.
There are also reports of an even more complicated variant called Delmicron, which is a mix of Delta and Omicron. And at this rate, it almost seems that we are in a never-ending loop of newer variants and more waves. What is the way out of this?
Look, the WHO does not recognize anything called Delmicron. But what is true is that the virus is going to keep mutating. We are going to see variations coming. Some variants will be inconsequential. Some variants in the future may become another variant of concern. We've had five so far. So viruses do that. I mean, influenza does that. Every year we have a new influenza strain, which is different from the one we had the previous year. And this is why we need to keep changing the vaccines. So I think this is what's going to happen in the future. The SARS-CoV-2 virus is here to stay. It's going to continue to infect people. Over time, there'll be enough immunity built up in the world so that this virus does not create the kind of damage it's doing today. It doesn't create the kind of disruptions that it has done because it's a pandemic. Over time, it will become an endemic virus. It will infect people. We probably won't get very sick. We might get a flu-like illness. We recover from it because we built that immunity thanks to vaccines and the natural exposure. So that's the process we expect over the next months to happen in 2022. If enough of the world has that immunity built up, then it should settle into an endemic state, which means, yes, we get infections, but we deal with it like we deal with so many other respiratory infections. And luckily now there are some drugs that have become available to treat it. We have to see whether we're going to need regular vaccination or not for some vulnerable groups. Maybe that's going to be needed as well. So there's still some questions, but there's no doubt that this virus will become one more common respiratory virus. As you know, we have a number of coronaviruses that cause the common cold in people, and maybe this will be one more.
Yeah, let's hope that happens. As of now, we can only hope, but nobody can be so sure. But Dr. Swaminathan, 2 years into this pandemic, many would say that we are much better off from where we began. Science has come a long way. We understand the virus better. We have vaccines. We have now, as you rightly mentioned, medicines also to cure it. And yet, Dr. Swaminathan, our response system, the world over, seems to not have evolved. We are still going for lockdowns and restrictions. Is there no other way to scientifically control these waves rather than exploring possibilities 2 years ago?
So that's a great question. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think 2 years on, we've learned about what works. We know the public health measures that work. We also know the ones that are harmful, that affect economies, that affect people's lives and livelihoods. So this is where I think policymakers really need to walk that fine balancing line between having public health measures to stop the spread of and prevent these big surges of infection while not impacting the economy the way that, you know, the first few months of the pandemic, there were lockdowns all over the world, which did exactly that. So we know that masking, for example, is a very effective intervention. So everybody used good quality mask and wore it properly all the time when they went out of their house, you actually are adding a significant layer of protection. You know, and I still see a lot of people not mask properly and up and about, even in public transport, even in indoor places, in malls and cinema theaters. So things like that, you know, if everybody masks up, it is said that you can reduce infection rates by 70-80%. Try to maintain some discipline indoors, you know. Ventilation is very important. This is an airborne virus. And so if there's an infected person with a lot of other people in the same room, mixing, laughing, talking, singing, and there isn't good ventilation, your chances of getting a super spreader event are quite high. More indoors, but can also happen outdoors. So avoiding mass gatherings, big parties, you know, let's postpone all of that later in the year. Mm. Have small family gatherings, have them outdoor as much as possible to celebrate, you know, the festive season. And then, of course, availability of testing, plenty of testing needs to be available. Vaccination, there's a big, I think India's done well, but we still have population to catch up with the second dose. We need to do that so that everyone's vaccinated, and there's a booster program now to be rolled out. So I think these are the combination of things that people just need to know the appropriate, COVID-appropriate behavior. You know, if you're not well, you're coughing, you have a bad cold, it may or may not be COVID, but stay home. Take it easy for a couple of days. Don't go into crowded places. And please keep those masks on.
And yet this seems to be the hardest message to communicate to people who are also suffering from pandemic fatigue. But we can't let our guards down. And certainly, Mask Up is a campaign we've launched right here on NDTV as well. But Dr. Swaminathan, what are your projections of this Omicron surge? I mean, the WHO has said that this is not going to be a wave, but actually a tsunami. Why does the WHO arrive at that conclusion?
And the reason the DG said that is because the world still has a lot of Delta infections, and on top of that, we've got Omicron. And so when you have both of these happening, a lot of people, especially in those countries which have unvaccinated people, can face a very tough few weeks. I think as far as India is concerned, there should be enough population immunity now, but there are still pockets, there are still people who are not vaccinated. But overall, I think there's a good amount of population immunity that's been built up. Going by what's happened in other countries, I see a big surge coming, a big, big surge. And, you know, the numbers really depend on how much you're testing. So in countries that are testing a lot, you know, they're already seeing numbers in the hundreds of thousands. You've seen many countries in Europe, the U.S., I think, crossed 300,000 today. So focusing on numbers alone, we're looking at test positivity rates. We're looking at basically at trends, looked at the sequencing, at SGN target failure. You will know when Omicron is replacing Delta. It's already happening in a few cities. So I think the next few weeks, there's going to be a big surge. That's why I said we need to be prepared for a lot of people seeking medical advice. There will be people who will need to be hospitalized and cared for. But hopefully the majority can be taken care of at home with simple measures. A request to people, again, not to self-prescribe not to take drugs on your own. Just because there are more treatments that have been approved now, it doesn't mean that you should self-medicate. These must be given on prescription, especially things like steroids. We saw the harm it did last time because of the overuse of steroids. And, you know, follow the doctor's advice. Basically, you need to stay hydrated, take rest, take paracetamol. If there's fever, monitor the pulse. Pulse oximetry to see the oxygen saturation and temperature. A few people may need hospitalization, but the recovery rates are very high with Omicron. So again, be cautious, but not panic. Follow COVID appropriate behavior. Help your friends and neighbors to do the same. And let's hope that we get over that surge and then face the rest of 2022, hopefully with much less fear of COVID with us.
Dr. Swaminathan, I've been meaning to ask you this question, and you know, it involves booster shots and booster doses. You think India delayed its rollout of booster doses for a very critical category? Could have done it a lot earlier.
One can always, in hindsight, say that things could have been done better earlier. I think that the Indian government prioritized very correctly the first course of vaccines to be given. You know, we have a huge population to be covered. I think that a commendable job has been done to vaccinate. More than 1.4 billion doses have been given out. Most adults have received at least one dose of the vaccine. So there's still a lot of work there to be completed. Starting boosters now, of course, will be an added precaution for those who are at high risk. So there's always that question of timing, supply and availability of vaccines, and how you prioritize. But I think that it should be fine now that boosters are going to be rolled out.
All right, Dr. Swaminathan, let's hope the pandemic ends in 2022. Let's hope it ends in 2022 and we get good news now this year, this new year. Thank you very much for joining us. I would like to introduce our panelists. An expert panel, Dr. Siddharth Kar, epidemiologist, University of Bristol from the United Kingdom, Dr. Shahid Jamil, senior virologist, Dr. Joita Basu, co-founder and director of Doctors Hub, and Dr. Vishal Rao, dean of the Center for Academic Research at the SCG Cancer Center. He's also the member of the expert committee, COVID Task Force, Government of Karnataka. Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Siddharth, I would like to begin with you. The global experience with the Omicron variant, how is the UK dealing with it? What have you learned? Because the biggest problem right now is lots of correct information.
Yes, so the global experience is obviously evolving and we are learning as we go. But in terms of how the UK is dealing with it right now and what India could learn from that is, first, I think not to panic in terms of policy responses to an incredibly high number of cases. We are going to witness a lot of cases in India as well in the next month or two. But most of those, as Dr. Swaminathan mentioned, are likely to be mild or even asymptomatic. So to not panic. The second bit is to focus on vaccines. You know, we've got very high levels of coverage in the UK. And likewise, I think in India, the first dose coverage has almost reached 90% of adults. But it's time to speed up the second dose coverage and third dose coverage for those in the high risk category. So these are the two main things. And the third thing, if I may add, is, you know, have a policy for who you want to admit to hospital, because one of the ways hospitals get filled up very quickly in India in particular is if people self-refer themselves to the hospital. You know, most of these can be treated at home, and we must have a very clear policy on hospitalization.
That's true. Dr. Jamil, I want to come to you now. You know, the transmissibility of this virus is something which is being discussed a lot, the new variant. Unfortunately, what has happened, Dr. Jamil, and I don't know how you look at this, a lot of people in this country seem to have gotten themselves convinced about the fact that this new variant is not that harmful. and it is okay to go about their daily lives. You think that's a very, very dangerous understanding of the variant?
Yeah, I do think it's dangerous. And, you know, even I have seen scientists and epidemiologists argue that this is a natural vaccine, Omicron. I don't think we have evidence to suggest that. And, you know, all these experts who are saying this fail to realize that there is something called long COVID. More people who get infected will show symptoms of something or the other years down the road. So how do we deal with that? So I think this message that is going on, that this is a natural vaccine, a God-given vaccine, all kinds of things are happening, is a very, very dangerous message. It just leads people into complacency in a country that has, you know, not really complied very well with masking, in a country that's very densely populated, in a country that has, even in the best of times, relatively modest healthcare infrastructure. So I think that's a very dangerous message to go out.
What do you think, Dr. Basu? You know, I want to ask this question of each one of you, because there seems to be this information, misinformation, I would say, that this is not a harmful variant. How can we come to this conclusion?
Everybody thinks that it's very mild, and everybody thinks that because it's mild, we should be able to ride through it. Even though the whole world can get infected, and that's how this pandemic is going to end. But what I would like to tell them is, even though it may cause less disease, a small percentage of a large number of people, you know, even that can overwhelm the healthcare system.
So in it's absolute not numbers, necessary it can that, be a lot.
Absolutely. It's not, most of the people will get mild disease, but the remaining 10%, if you look at India, it's we are 1.4 billion people. That's a huge population. If everybody gets infected, even if you take 50% of the people get infected and 10% of the 50% need hospitalization, that is enough to overwhelm our hospitals. So I don't think we should be taking this lightly at all. This is not something which is a mild variant. Everybody is going to get the disease, and then we are going to rough it out, and then the pandemic is going to end. It doesn't work like that. That's a very simplistic attitude to take to, and we should not be allowing people. Sorry about that. I want to make it very strict and say we should not be allowing people to enter malls without a vaccine card, without masks and all that. We should keep all those things into place. I'm not in favor of lockdown, but I'm definitely in favor of mandating masks everywhere. A vaccine mandate should be present for all vehicles, all flights, malls, even eating joints.
Well said. Dr. Rao, in terms of policy, and since you are part of the the COVID task force in Karnataka, do you feel that 2 years on, even now, governments, and I'm not necessarily talking about Karnataka, but from your experience, do you feel governments have a very knee-jerk reaction to a new variant or a new wave? Reduce the capacity of the metro train, stop this, stop that. And then obviously there'll be a fallout. For instance, in the national capital, you reduce the capacity in the metro, and that led to a sudden surge at the bus stations or bus stands. Now, that's not a very wise way of dealing with this pandemic. If the idea is to maintain distance, the exact opposite is happening.
Sure. Thank you, Sangeet. What I would like to reiterate at this point is, if you look at December 2019, we had the entry of the D614G. December 2020, it was the Delta. December 2021, it is the Omicron. And every passing year, at December, we get to know that the virus is trying its best to get stronger. The latest data that I was connected with from the University of Glasgow Center of Virus Research is showing that it has altered its route of entry also in the cell, which they in this preprint have raised a lot of concerns about, saying that from compared to Delta, Alpha and the earlier variants, the Omicron has also changed the route of entry. Now, we have substantial proof to show that it has higher transmission, it has potential vaccine escape, and virulence-wise, as my previous speaker said, and I agree with Dr. With all the earlier speakers, to reiterate this part and emphasizing to what Dr. Jameel said, it is too premature for you to now make a premature victory announcement at this juncture when the virus is evolving at such a virulent pace. And when it reaches the tipping point, its biological behavior is going to change. So at this juncture, policymakers, I think, will need to look at the five aspects of the, you know, we've been doing the first three T's very well, but the last two T's, the training and teamwork, needs to be better. And that's where we will need to have a more cohesive planning on what is it based on the density of the population, whether it's urban, rural, or semi-urban. You'll have to strategize it more better to implement behavioral modification strategies and transmission appropriate behavior, which includes vaccination, ventilation, masks, and the rest of the rules.
Sure. Dr. Siddharth, I want to come back to you on boosters. You see, only very recently India has announced that from the 10th of January, we are going to begin the process of boosting, right? This is also in a graded manner, which has been appreciated by some. But the concept of providing booster doses itself has been debated across the world. For instance, the WHO says both things, that you can't boost yourself out of this pandemic. In fact, it is going to prolong the pandemic. On the other hand, they also say that for a target group, it's important to have boosters. What's the final word, according to you, on boosters?
So that apparent paradox that you talk about is mainly because there are two distinct public policy goals here. If reducing infection itself is your goal, then boosters will not get you out of that. But if reducing hospitalizations and death is your goal, then boosters are another layer of protection from hospitalization and death. So clearly, you know, the message has to be clear that one vaccine is better than nothing, two is better than one, and three is better than two. You know, there should be no hesitancy in that. And that is going to save us from hospitalizations, from death. So there's no real paradox. But I think
Dr. Siddharth, by that logic, four will be better than three and five will be better than four.
This is never ending. You know, you could extend it to in that manner, but you have to remember that this is a airborne virus, and, you know, viruses do mutate. And for influenza, we do have yearly vaccinations. You know, so it's not a one-off case. For many other viruses in childhood, you take as many as three or four vaccines. So it's not a unique scenario if you look at other diseases. So coming back to the other side of it, that it has, you have to be clear that with Omicron, it's unlikely that the number of infections themselves will reduce simply because of vaccination, which is why you have to keep up the non-pharmacological interventions, be it masking, social distancing. But again, I agree with the other speakers that lockdown is not a solution. We, in particular in India, have to open up education. You know, primary and secondary school education has been affected for 2 years, and that needs to be looked at.
Dr. Jameel, the biggest risk in this country, apart from, you know, adults getting affected by this variant, is the fact that our children are still not vaccinated. In 2022, how important should it be as a matter of public policy for the government to think of vaccinating children quick and fast?
Well, Sanket, in medicine, it's all about risk versus benefit. And if you look at it from a population, from a public health perspective, then I think it's prudent to reduce disease severity, to reduce hospitalization and mortality. And that largely happens in adults. And especially if the adults have a weaker immune system. So it's best to give them boosters, it's best to protect them. As far as children are concerned, children do get infected, and the fourth sero survey showed that even though schools were closed, as many children got infected as adults. So they are getting infected in household settings. They're not getting infected in schools. That's point number one. Second is hospitalization of children, severe disease in children is very, very low. So therefore, it makes public health sense to continue to vaccinate adults. But yes, in 2022, I think as we cover more and more adults, vaccination will go towards children. And then you start with adolescents and go down. And that's how you open schools as well. You don't open primary school first and then middle and then secondary. You open, you don't open secondary first and then primary. You open primary first because that's where the risk of disease is the lowest. And hopefully by the time you get to secondary schools, you would have covered those.
But,
children.
You know, Dr. Jameel, if you look at the response of the government, we are planning to vaccinate children in the age group of 15 to 18. We'll begin that vaccination drive soon. Perhaps the idea is so that they can start going back to school, take their tests, and then education does not suffer. There's still no policy on 15 and below.
Well, that's fine. I mean, adolescents 15 to 18 will get more severe disease compared to younger children. So vaccinating them as a priority makes, you know, perfect scientific sense. What I'm arguing about is in unvaccinated children, when you open schools, you don't open secondary school first and then you open primary school. You go the other way around because the risk of disease is lowest in the youngest lot of children. So I think good scientific understanding and following data is very important.
Yeah.
And Indians need to get out of this mental makeup that Indians are somehow special and special things will happen to them. You know, over the last 2 years, we have seen that that's not true. We are not special. We are just as vulnerable as anybody else. I mean, people came out earlier saying, oh, because Indians get BCG vaccination, they won't have disease. Look what Delta did to us. Now it's a natural vaccine that God has given us. And now this will protect everyone. I think this kind of reasoning is very dangerous. Time and again, we've seen this.
True. Very true. Very true. And the biggest problem is, at least in this election season, our politicians who think that they're even more special. Because there is a curfew by night, but rally by the day. One really does not understand this logic. But Dr. Basu, coming back to you on the larger point of vaccine inequity. We are as safe against this virus as we distribute the vaccine. But right now the problem is great vaccine inequity. Where did Omicron come from? Africa. Which part of the world has the lowest vaccination? Africa. Do you think that this is one issue that needs to be addressed in 2022? We can't be selfish about vaccination drives.
Absolutely right. We cannot be selfish about vaccines at all. And what I am disturbed about is by the first world countries who are hoarding the vaccines, who are allowing vaccines to expire instead of sending it out across to the world, to the places where they have not enough vaccines to vaccinate their population. So even Israel is giving, like you said, the fourth booster. They are giving out a fourth booster. Instead of that, if we could start, giving out the vaccines to the poorer countries. I think India has done a decent job as far as that is concerned, as far as vaccine equity is concerned, because we were part of the COVAX group where we gave out a large proportion of vaccines to the rest of the world where there was not enough vaccines available. And you rightly said that if we are not out of the woods, still the last person is vaccinated. So we need to address vaccine inequity in 2022, most definitely. We need to get the developed world, we need to get USA, Canada, Europe to, not hoard the vaccines and...
where the cases are exploding. These cases are exploding in exactly those countries. So their hoarding has not helped them. It's a self-defeating exercise.
Yeah. True. It's not helped them at all. And I would find there are a lot of anti-vaxxers over there as compared to the rest of the world. People in the rest of the world, rest of the developing world, third world countries, I don't know. I have to read up about that, whether there are as many anti-vaxxers as there are in the USA, in Canada, in Europe. And that's where they are not following the rules. They are not masking up. And that's where the cases are exploding at present. So I think that needs to be addressed. And I hope the administration of those countries comes together and, thinks about the larger picture and starts, transferring vaccine power. And more than that, even vaccine knowledge. I wish Moderna and Pfizer did not keep this knowledge to themselves, and they would, bring out and they would transfer this knowledge to others. So if you can't give out the vaccines, at least transfer the knowledge to the rest of the countries where we can. India, I'm sure, is capable of manufacturing those vaccines. We just need the know-how of this.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm going to spend the last 5 or 6 minutes talking about solutions for the future, solutions for 2022. Dr. Rao, you go first. Our learnings from wave one and then the learnings from wave two, how prepared has it made us for wave three? Or we just don't know what is going to happen, just like we didn't know what to expect in wave two. And more importantly, our political response. And I'm going to repeat this again. It is not right for institutions and establishments to suggest that people take care, whereas those who are supposed to exercise political will are going to hold rally after rally by the day and then impose curfew by night. Dr. Rao, your solutions.
Thank you, Sanket. So as I said earlier, Sanket, the virus year after year seems to be working towards getting stronger. And there seems to be an obvious race between the vaccines and the variant. So at this juncture, if the world has to be a safer place, we will have to come together in terms of addressing vaccine inequalities, because the next new emerging variant may come from any corner of the world with poor vaccination. So with the coming years, we will have to ensure that the country is going to be safer if the vaccination rates are going to be better, and the obvious race between the vaccine and the variant will continue until the endemic state appears. At this juncture, I would like to reiterate that India has about 26% of its population below the age group of 14 years, which comes to about 19 crores. It's a very big number. And considering the rapidity of transmission with Omicron, we cannot take this lightly at this juncture. And earlier also, Dr. Swaminathan re-emphasized this, that this can overwhelm the health system. So the 5 T's, testing, tracking, tracing, but beyond that, teamwork, training for a better preparedness and discipline is going to be very crucial in the coming months for us to, win this war. And any premature announcement or a victory announcement on this should be avoided at this juncture to be well prepared. I think I would like to stop at that. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Dr. Jameel, your solutions in 2022, what do you propose?
Well, first of all, I would say follow the science. That's very important. And time and again, we have seen how science has helped. But, the understanding of the scientific process is not something that is very evident. When a scientist says something yesterday and something a little different today, it doesn't mean that she was lying yesterday or today. It simply means that the information has evolved. Maybe because of better tools, maybe because we have a better understanding of things. And scientists are possibly the only people who would love to be proven wrong. Unlike politicians, since you mentioned that up front. So I would say follow the science, go for evidence-based policymaking and not policy-based evidence-making. That's a very dangerous trend. So I'll just stop at that, and I wish all of you a very good New Year.
That's a very, very powerful message from Dr. Shahid Jameel, extremely powerful message, that you can't work a policy backwards and then think of the science around it. It has to be science-led. I'm sure people will understand, or this message will reach where it is intended to. But Dr. Siddharth, your solutions for 22.
My solutions are simple. Vaccinate, mask, focus on the public health and primary care infrastructure in India. You know, this is a real wake-up call for in the Indian healthcare system to be more public health and primary care driven rather than hospital driven. So these are the three things. And I fully agree with Dr. Jameel that public health policy response needs to be nimble. It needs to move faster because the science is also moving at a rapid pace. And there is a lot of uncertainty. So you have to acknowledge that science can be uncertain, and that is fine. So that would be my main points.
Okay. Dr. Basu, last word.
So mask, most important thing, it still works. It's the only thing that's been working. It's the one thing which has been working from right from the beginning. Vaccinate. I would add over here, as far as public policy is concerned, I would like to transfer the know-how, like you said, the technology of vaccines to and share the know-how with the rest of the world. That is very, very important so that other parts of the world becomes independent in making the vaccine. And so that we don't have to borrow or ask for ask people to give us the vaccine. They can hoard as much as they want if they provide the know-how or share the technology with us. So that would be one of my important 2020 policies. And yes, the last thing, I don't want to sound political, but all politicians should wear a mask.
Well said.
That's my last thing.
There is nothing
thing
political
this.
About this, Dr. Basu. Absolutely nothing political about this, because there is a very, I don't know whether we should say this or not, an extremely selfish and shameless attempt by political parties and leaders to think that they're above everything, that the virus is not going to affect them at all or their political rallies. It is a point. These are visuals, which is why NDTV has launched a mask up campaign again. An absolutely identical campaign was launched in March 2020, April 2020. We're launching it again. As all doctors you just heard on this show are saying, mask up. It is the cheapest and the most effective way to protect you from these newer and newer variants. Wish each and every viewer a very, very happy new year. Thank you very much to the doctors for the sound advice. Thank you so much for joining us. The big fight will continue after the short break.